This is the last Sunday of year 2019, so I think I could share many different topics on this particular Sunday in a very meaningful way. But I thought of a patience for today's message. It is because I'm sure that many of us had to live patiently during this year. You know, a lot of things do happen to us, and a lot of incidents in our lives are against our expectations, so we cannot but live with patience. So I think patience is something that that is very appropriate for us to consider this morning. More than 10 years ago, I shared a story about a man who was very unfortunate. And I think I should share this man's unfortunate life on a particular day. And this is going to be a part of my introduction to the subject we are going to study this morning. The Encyclopedia Britannica's 1982 yearbook, under the heading Strange and Unusual Events, tells us about a man named Brian Heiss. And this is, the quotation I'm going to make from that book, in quote. Brian Heiss had more than his share of luck in July, and most of it was bad. When his apartment in Provo, Utah, became flooded from a broken pipe in the upstairs apartment, the manager told him to go out and rent a water vacuum. That's when he discovered his car had a flat tire. He changed it, then went inside again to phone a friend for help. The electric shock he got from the phone so startled him that he inadvertently ripped the instrument off the wall. Before he could leave the apartment a second time, a neighbor had to kick down the apartment door because water damage had jammed it tight. While all of this was going on, someone stole Heiss's car, but it was almost out of gas. He found it a few blocks away, but had to push it to the gas station where he filled up the tank. That evening, Heiss attended a military ceremony at Brigham Young University. He injured himself severely when he somehow sat on his bayonet, which had been tossed onto the stitch of the wound. But no one was able to resuscitate the four of Heiss's canaries that were crushed to death by falling plaster. After Heiss slipped on the wet carpet and badly injured his tailbone, he said he began to wonder if God wanted me dead, but just kept missing. End of quote. I wonder by now you feel that your life is much better than you may think and you may evaluate. Though we may not experience this sort of extreme unusual events and series within a short span of time, we do experience some unhappy, rather very much upsetting experiences at times. I'm sure that throughout this year, you did have some of those incidents in your life. Every disappointment and discouragement requires us to be patient. Life is full of unexpected events, and many a time we are totally at a loss. Seemingly simple matters become very complicated, and the problems are coming up out of nothing. Our plans never get to their fruition, and a normal course of life in other people's lives seems to betray us. We walk into an unknown wilderness journey of life. We are wondering why and how long it is going to happen in such a way. Today, what I'm going to share with you is about patience in godliness. I do not intend to study the passage we read this morning, James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. In fact, this is a really rich passage if we desire to study the passage itself. Instead, I'd like to bring a theme of this passage, which is patience, to all of your attention this morning. James 5, 10 and 11 says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The prophets of God were patient and they endured the suffering. That's what James is saying in this passage. Job was patient. We know that Job's name is not mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which has been known to us as a chapter of heroes of faith. But for sure, his name is found in the hall of patience in James chapter 5. The extent of his patience is quite astounding, in fact. If you look at Job chapter 13, verse 15, it says this: though he slay me, though he kill me, though he will put me to death, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He was surely patient under the burdens and pressures of life. And Proverbs 16:32, which you may want to remember, says this. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. It speaks of the value or virtue of a patience. To be slow to anger is better than the mighty. And if someone can control his temper and be patient, he's better than the ones who are conquering the cities. Then why do we have to be patient? Let me begin with the reasons to be patient. The necessity of a patience is found in all believers of Jesus Christ who have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. It is because Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit of God, and we can find the presence of a patience in that particular list. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, long-suffering, and the long-suffering is referring to patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and temperance is referring to self-control. How can we control ourselves without being patient? Therefore, in fact, within the list of the fruit of the Spirit of God, we can find two virtues related to patience. Patience. We need to clarify the focus of our study by learning some lessons from the definition of patience. Noam Webster offers us amazing insights about patience in his definitions of the word. So let me go to that lexicon, or English, Noam Webster's 1828 dictionary. And I will take first the five definitions from his English dictionary. The number one definition is this. Patience means the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. The second definition, a calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. Third definition, the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. Number four, perseverance, constancy in the labor or exhaustion. Number five, the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. There are a few circumstantial backgrounds of patience according to this particular dictionary definition. There are times when we experience the suffering of affliction, pain, toil, or calamity in life. It's interesting, the definition of patience cannot but be related to the presence of suffering in the patient people. And the interesting thing is that God is speaking all of his children to be patient. In other words, the believers may expect the coming afflictions and painful moments in their lives. The definitions of the word patience offer us a plain and clear view of life. In other words, no one is going to be free from pain and suffering. The meanings of the word patience helps us see life really practically and realistically. There are also times of irritation, inconveniences, delays of our plans, so many unfulfilled desires, even though we have been longing for satisfactions and contentment by seeing the fulfillments of all those desires. All of us do respond to the suffering one way or another. We need to respond to the presence of suffering and pain in our lives. We cannot make any particular way to handle sufferings because all of us are different in character and experience different kinds of sufferings. Therefore, we cannot say to other people that we have been able to overcome our suffering because we have done this and that. If you apply exactly the same thing to your lives, you may be able to overcome your sufferings and your painful experiences. It may not work in that way. Even if we experience the same kind of suffering, we may face it with different intensities, and our responses and reactions could be different. It is because all of us live in different circumstances, and thus, even the same suffering with the same intensity could be experienced and felt so differently. Therefore, we should not deal with others' sufferings in an easy manner. I have gone through that way, therefore you will be okay. Sometimes that cannot be a comfort. It doesn't comfort anybody when that person goes through a suffering moment. All of us have different experiences in the past and propensities and inclinations. We cannot ignore our temperament either. Our personalities are different. Even our physical conditions could affect our responses to the suffering and pain. When we are sick and weak, our responses are so different, and we do not respond well as when we are healthy. And so normally it could not be a problem to us, but when we are sick and when we are weak, when we are suffering in certain ways, those painful moments are coming to us differently. Then what should be our attitude to ebbs and flows in life, especially when things are not so favorable to us or when there are unfulfilled desires for so long? We should not forget that there are even moments that our troubles are related to God too. By believing in God, we do not say that we will be exonerated from all those pain and suffering moments and experiences. In fact, the psalmist often lamented unto God by saying, "How long and why have you forsaken me?" And those prayers can be easily found in the book of Psalms. Their spirit was so much downcast. In times like this, what do we need in particular as we strive to be godly? How can we discipline ourselves to be godly during such times and such experiences? Patience is an answer to practical and real issues and problems of life. There are unwanted delays, unwanted provocations, and unwanted upsetting circumstances in life. Patience is a virtue that is required for the time of discomfort, uncertainties, and also inconveniences. There are so many inconveniences in our lives. Thus, it is a difficult virtue to obtain because it has to fight against all the odds like provocations, uncertainties, discomfort, disappointments, discouragements, or lots of delays or unpredictable circumstances. Patience presupposes that there is a presence of difficulties and trials. Patience is a response to such experiences and such situations. Patience also presupposes the existence of inner strength and emotional maturity. Otherwise, it is hard for us to respond calmly when there is a provocation by anything or by any situation or by any person. Friedrich Nietzsche said in his book, Human or to Human, in a very good way, as he was trying to experience the presence of pain. in quote, being able to wait is so hard that the greatest poets did not disdain to make the inability to wait the theme of their poetry. Passion will not wait. The tragedy in the lives of great men often lies not in their conflict with the times and the baseness of their fellow men, but rather in their inability to postpone their work for a year or two. They just cannot wait. End of quote. Though he was a well-known atheist, he had a right perception about patience. Probably some of us may recall some of the mistakes we have made because we were impatient. And because we refuse to wait a little bit longer, because of that, actually we are suffering with the outcomes. Thus, Michelangelo said, in quote, "Genius is eternal patience," end of quote. There is a Chinese proverb saying, "In the struggle between the stone and the water, in time the water wins." At the first glance, we all agree that stones are much harder and stronger than water. However, over the years, we know that water grinds and wears out the hard surfaces of stones. It cuts the corners of stones and makes them round. Jeremy Collier said, in quote, "Patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will," end of quote. Well, then, are we patient? Patience is an answer to our unexpected circumstances, especially when we cannot control our lives. And patience is a secret to more contented life. We are living in a society glorying in speed and convenience. This trend often leads us to impatience and does not make us feel content quite often. We complain about slow internet connections. And I must admit that I'm one of those complainers quite often. Waiting a couple of extra seconds for a page to load feels like an eternity. The demand for instant results is seeping into every corner of our lives, and not just virtually. That's why retailers are jumping into same-day delivery services. Smartphone apps eliminate the wait for a cab, a date, or a table at a hot restaurant. Movies and TV shows begin streaming in seconds. Ramesh Sitharaman, a computer science professor at University of Massachusetts Amherst, examined the viewing habits of 6.7 million internet users in a study released in year 2016. How long were subjects willing to be patient? The answer was 2 seconds. After that, they started abandoning, Sitharaman said. After 5 seconds, the abandonment rate is 25%, and when you get to 10 seconds, half are gone. Impatience leads us to be discontent, while patience, contentment. Patience helps us appreciate deeper things of life and fulfill the purpose of life. So unless someone has an experience that requires him or her to be patient, in fact, that person may not be able to understand really the purpose and meaning of life deeply. Today, trends are leading to a future in which most people are shallow consumers of information. Information is everywhere, especially Dr. Google. Thus, they think they know, but their shallow understanding of deeper issues leads them to misunderstanding and misjudgment over many matters. Instead of deep thinking and meditation of God's word, most Christians, whether extremely smart and intelligent or not, they go to Google search to find quick answers, which will become their perspectives and worldviews. Their spirituality is coming from Google search. Then they think they know, but alas, they actually do not know. They go to Google search to find deeper meanings of God's word. They do research quickly and find some quotes here and there and think that they have found answers. Truly, I must say, woe unto them. Such shallow believers think that they are deeply spiritual with the knowledge of the deep secrets of God. So as a result, Google is their Holy Spirit, and Google search becomes their meditation. Alas, they have forgotten even the fundamental spiritual life mentioned in Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It is a rare experience for me to meet someone with a deeper meditation of God's word. People do have a lot of knowledge, a lot of information through quick searches, and people do not go beyond that. It is quite sad. It is no wonder that not many believers do experience verse 3 of Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditation in day and night is not referring to Google search. In fact, someone told me that I should not spend too much time to study. It is because the messages I may be able to produce from my diligent studies is not going to be understood anyway. Therefore, I should not study too much. And that comment comes from, obviously, from one of my congregation. If that is the case, probably a lot of people have been affected by such an attitude. Deep appreciation of God's word is abandoned. But Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditation in day and night is not surely, as I said it before, referring to Google search. As a result of impatient manner of Christians' pursuit of spirituality, what they say and believe does not have any substance. They say so much of the scriptures and of God, but there is no substance at all. It is no wonder that Christian churches are on declining side. How could anyone be satisfied by such a spiritual journey? Patience requires time and effort, and being patient is hard but rewarding. Patience makes the goals of life more clearly. In fact, both patience and impatience are experienced when we have set certain goals and kept certain expectations. When children are waiting for gifts for their birthdays, they become impatient. Students spend time to prepare for the exams. If they are serious students who have really goals to reach, they will be patiently studying whenever they are able to. Patience will be an instrument helping us to reach our goals. Sportsmen and women patiently practice in order to make differences in their real games. Because my son Samuel loves basketball games, I found an illustration from a basketball player so that I can get his attention, especially. William Warren Bradley was both a professional basketball player and successful politician in America. When he was ready to go to university, he received 75 university scholarships. So you can imagine how good he was. He went to Princeton University and later to Oxford University. He was smart and chosen to be the player of National Collegiate Athletic Association. And he was a member of U.S. Olympic basketball team and won a gold medal and played for New York Knicks and won NBA titles. When he was teaching himself to play basketball, he set himself a schedule. 3.5 hours of practice every day after school. So he went all the classroom, you know, coursework required and so on. And on Sundays, 8 hours on Saturdays. He wore 10-pound weights on his ankles to strengthen them. His great weakness was dribbling, so he taped pieces of cardboard to the bottom of his glasses so he could not see the ball as he dribbled it. When his family took a trip to Europe by boat, Bradley found two long, narrow corridors below decks where he could dribble his basketball at a sprint, hour upon hour, day after day. He patiently practiced the same movement over and over again and again because he set a goal. Patience. Patience makes our goal shown to us more clearly. Patience. Impatience stirs up anger and indignation, while patience brings forth calmness and peace. We all experience it on the road. If we have a very important appointment to keep, and we are driving, and a driver in front of us very slowly moving, and there is a red light coming and on the cross of the road, and you want to pass the light before it turns to red, but because of this slow driver, you are just stuck right there, and you are standing behind that person, and you are mad. You are really upset, and you are agitated, and you say that that driver must be a woman. Often, impatience becomes an instrument of ungodliness because it causes us to live for what we want right now. We are the drivers of our own life, and everything must come into places as we have planned and expected. Impatience activates all of its friendly forces, including anger, evil thoughts, and all ungodly actions and deeds. While patience brings contentment, impatience provokes discontentment. That's why we need to be patient. Then what is the nature of patience or characteristics of a patience? Now we want to investigate the nature or characteristics of patience in order to know what patience is about and what is impatience. First of all, patience rejects instant gratification. As the pace of our living and working move very fast all the time, we expect that everything comes into places without delays. So if we have any questions are to be answered immediately, and work must be done in time as we have planned. Our smartphones are open most of the days, if not through the night. What we need to know is that immediate gratification is the default response within us. It is difficult to overcome those urges and be patient and wait for things to come over time, because we are not wired to think about the long term anymore. I meet people who can visualize long term plans and goals very, very rarely. But experts caution that instant gratification comes at a price. It's making us less patient. However, a lot of things that are really valuable take time. For example, Christian growth takes time and requires patience. Would you like to read Luke chapter 8, verse 15? Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Let's read it together. But that on the ground, good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. In our honest and good hearts, the word of God, like seeds, is sown and kept. It germinates and begins to grow, even to bear fruits. This whole process takes time, and we must patiently hear God's word and obey it and bear eventually the fruits. Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." In other words, whatever is written in the scriptures is written for our learning. In order that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In other words, the Bible does not give us any quick fix. It talks about patient waiting. We may want to learn from what Soren Kierkegaard had to say, in quote, "Most men pursue pleasure with such breathless haste that they hurry past it," end of quote. And patience is also persistence. Romans chapter 2 verse 7, I think you want to read it too. Romans chapter 2 verse 7. Romans 2, verse 7. Let's read it together. "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." And here, there is a phrase, a patient continuance. That is the idea of patience. Of course, patience must be continued. Otherwise, it cannot be patience. It is also translated as perseverance by NASB. The Greek word for patience has a few meanings, and one of them is steadfastness or constancy. In the New Testament, it refers to the characteristic of a man who is unswerving from his delivery purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Persistence. A patient person is a man who is persistent and constant in his actions and reactions to and for various experiences in life, depending on circumstances. And patience is also referring to endurance. In the beginning of this message, I told you that patience is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And it is very possible that you just heard it without thinking anything anymore on that particular statement. I wonder if you had any question to that very truth. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit of God, as Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 say. People led by the Spirit of God are expected to bear a fruit of patience, which means endurance, which presupposes delays, unexpected events, unfulfilled desires, trials, and sufferings. In ordinary minds, most believers equate trials and sufferings with lack of faith, punishment for sin, or God's judgment. Because God does not care for me, God does not love me, or because I'm so ugly before his eyes, that's why I am going through all these suffering and painful experiences. However, if patience is a work of the Spirit of God, we cannot but conclude that the circumstances demanding us to be patient is also in the will of God. If it were true, then patience in the form of endurance is a sign of our submission to the sovereign will of God. It is a form of obedience to Him. In His divine wisdom, instead of removing adverse conditions of life, He teaches us to endure or to be patient. James tells us to count our trials, in fact, as joy in chapter 1 verse 2. Because trials are actually for our faith, and the end result of tried faith is patience, according to James chapter 1 verse 3. It is an amazing transformation of thoughts on the part of the believers, because finding joy in suffering is contrary to our natural inclinations. Douglas Moo explains the meaning of James chapter 1 verse 3, in particular the phrase, "worketh patience." Trials worketh patience. And he said that it is a picture of a person successfully carrying a heavy load for a very long time. That is patience. Sometimes God requires us to be patient because he wants us to show. He wants to show us who is the true ruler and who must reign in our lives. By being in a situation in which we must be patient, we begin to learn to be humble with the recognition that we are not the masters of our own lives. We learn and understand that there are things that we cannot control over and that we must depend on God. Psalm 18 verse 6 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Through patience, we learn to depend on God more and more. And we begin to realize more and more that we are truly nothing, and God is everything. Unless we are tried, we cannot come into this deep appreciation of God's providential work in our lives. And patience is an instrument to build up our character. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." The man of God is to follow after patience. On the other hand, the purpose of patience is our spiritual perfection, which means maturation, and entirety, which means completion, and wanting nothing, in other words, lacking nothing. That is the purpose of patience. Patience builds us up to grow and to be mature. Trials serve as an anvil upon which spiritual lives are hammered into maturity. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, you may be able to see it even more clearly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, it talks about the growth in Christian character. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 says this, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." So there are different ingredients within our character, Christian character. And here, one of those characteristics of our character is that temperance, and temperance is referring to self-control. And that temperance must be strengthened by patience. If someone is self-controlling, but he's not patient, then we know that he's not controlling at all. Temperance means self-control. The last virtue mentioned in this character builder passage is none other than charity, which is referring to love. And we know that Paul says that love, charity, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity endures all things, which is referring to, once again, patience. Patience is an instrument to strengthen and build up our Christian character. The patient person truly is showing his character, Christian character. Patience is a channel of God's blessings. James chapter 1 verse 12. Would you like to read the James passage? Because a couple of verses from the book of James I want to read together with you. James 1:12. Hey, let's read it. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Amen. It is really interesting. It is because James is talking about those individuals who are being tried. And here, when he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, obviously those temptations are not temptations as you are thinking about. Basically, it refers to some trials. It is very well explained in the second half of the verse, because he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried. So we are talking about suffering, pain, all kinds of trials and tests in the life. And interestingly and pointedly, James does not tell his readers to pray for the removal of their trials. He even does not tell them to lament over trials. He's not saying that in times of your trials or trials, go somewhere and cry aloud and mourn over your situations or conditions of life. But rather, it says, blessed is the man. It is almost like a beatitude you can find from Matthew chapter 5. Blessed is the one, etc. It says, blessed is the man that endureth a temptation, which means blessed is the man who is in the situation in which he must exercise, practice patience. Blessed is the man. He even says that he must have joy in heart because of the resulting spiritual benefits in this verse. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 also offer us invaluable lessons about patience. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. James 5, 10 and 11. Let's read them together. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy. Amen. Here, even the prophets of God were in subjection to the situations requiring them to be patient. It's quite interesting. We know that in our Christianity, the climate of Christian religion, there are a lot of people who want to have some sort of prophetic gifts, etc. And some people are calling themselves as prophets as well. But here we go. If you want to follow their examples, you need to very carefully read verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. If we want to follow the examples of prophets, we are to suffer afflictions and of patience. Even the prophets of God were in subjection to the situations requiring them to be patient. By being put into the moment of patience, we are considered to be worthy of patience, because it was the privilege that the prophets of God who spoke the messages of God in the name of the Lord. It is a privilege. Just like apostles when they were beaten up when they were tortured by the persecutors of Christ in the book of Acts. They rejoiced because they felt that they were counted to be worthy of such afflictions. Job was patient. And also there is the end of the Lord in verse 11. Verse 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Greek word for end means purpose or goal. So the NASB translates verse 11 as follows. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord's dealings are referring to all of his trials he experienced, and the Lord dealt with him, and there was an outcome, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. NIV reads it this way. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. In other words, In times of trials, we have to be patient by focusing on the outcome or the purpose of God in dealing with us through trials. God did not deal with Job for nothing. There was an outcome. We count them, those people in endurance or patience, happy in verse 11 again, which is also translated as blessed in the New Testament, other places. The same word is found in the Beatitude again in Matthew chapter 5, the famous blessed passage. Blessed are the patient because they are fulfilling the purpose of God. That's what the verse is talking about. So we have to add this one to the Beatitudes. When you have to be in the situation of being patient, it may puzzle you, and your mind may be confused, and sometimes you feel that you are crushed under the burdens of those labors in life. But James, from biblical point of view, you are a blessed person. And there is one hidden but outstanding truth of God who permits us to be under heavy burdens of life, to suffer and to suffer the pain. The part of verse 11, the last part of verse 11 says this. I hope you read that part. The last part of verse 11 says that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I don't know what your impression may be. And we are to look at Job and learn from his patience. And we see the outcome of God's dealing with him. Then James ends the verse by saying, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Then who is God? The one who permits us to endure and persevere is, according to James, very pitiful, which means compassionate and merciful. The enduring situation in life is not a sign of God's cold shoulders to us. God who saw Job's suffering was not a God who hated him, but loved him very much with compassion. And patience is also a virtue we all must have. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, I want you to read it too. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Let's read it. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Amen. I wonder what thought is coming into your mind, especially when you read the last part of the verse. Be patient toward all men. It is God's will that we are patient to all men. It presupposes that there are irks, there are frustrating moments, and there are people who may irritate us without any apparent reasons even, and or those situations. But God is telling us that we are to be patient to all men, and I want you to know that it is in a form of command. So it is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. It is actually a commandment of God that we are to be patient to all men. It is also God's command to all believers to be patient with all men, which means that we must be patient with all men without any discrimination. A Greek word for be patient takes a form of command. So God knows and remembers our patience too. God commands us to be patient. So Revelation chapter 2 is a part of messages given to seven churches in Asia Minor. And in those messages, Jesus gives his valuation of each church. And here are some of the examples we find from chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. So in fact, patience occurs twice. In the last sentence, hast not fainted, that indicates patience as well. And God says, I know. Jesus actually, in this passage says, I know thy patience. Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, thy patience and thy works. God remembers not only our visible achievements like, you know, some works and labors, but also not so visible achievement such as patience. When we are enduring our trials and persevere in them and steadfast in our faithfulness, God remembers everything we have done in patience. Even in year 2019, I'm sure that you have gone through certain situations maybe others may not even imagine, be able to imagine. And some of the circumstances you have experienced were really terrible and just too much sometimes you felt. And those circumstances and situations did require your patience. I can guarantee you that such experiences will not be ended by the end of this year. But more of them will come to our doorsteps in the coming years. Patience is a sign of our trust in God and mark of our submission to His rule. Jesus was patient. And the prophets of God were patient. Patience is a virtue we ought to cultivate. When it comes down to the subject of patience, I must admit that I have been very much impatient quite often in many different circumstances. But the merciful and compassionate God has given me a patient wife. So through her patience, my impatience was covered. And so my sin of impatience has been covered by my dear wife's patience. Our patience is going to bring a lot of positive products and outcomes into our lives as well. Patience is a virtue we ought to cultivate. James 1 verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, do not stop. Do not give up. Let patience have her work, perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, even through that patience, you are going to attain to spiritual maturity and you will grow unto Christ Jesus and your spiritual life will be truly satisfying. Revelation 14 verse 2 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. James 5:11 says, as we read before, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Therefore, when you share your trials and your sufferings with me, I will say, you are truly a blessed person. It is because what you are going through is what even Job had gone through and what Jesus had gone through and the prophets of God experienced. And the Lord is truly pitiful and have tender mercies towards you. May the Lord bless all of you who who have been patiently living in year 2019, and we will continually to be patient in the coming years. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are grateful that you have been patient to us in many ways, Lord, all these years. Even after our conversion, we know that we have disappointed you so much. Dear gracious Lord, as the scripture says, we ought to be patient toward all men. Lord, help us to be patient to one another. When we fail to be patient with one another, Lord, we know that oftentimes we are agitated and we are frustrated and we are upset. When we are facing those upsetting moments, if we do not learn to be patient, we may even disobey God. We may not be able to glorify the Lord, and we fail to grow in Christ Jesus. Help us to be patient, even though patient situation may not give us immediate gratification or pleasure. Help us to be patient, and as a result, the outcome we will be able to taste will be sweet to us, Lord. Bless us, and bless all those ones who have been patiently waiting for your intervention in their lives and for your grace upon them. Lord, help us to be patient in the coming years. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.